So, baby, pour up. I'm glad you're joining me here on the couch. Let's jump right in.
What's your thoughts on longevity in a relationship? What do you think are some of the keys of keeping, or not even keeping, but thriving in a relationship?
I think the first is trust is probably one of the biggest components to a relationship, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to establish the ability of mm-hmm. two people being together, and in especially in today's world, the ability to trust, also respect, I think is something that is big. The fact that we're down. We're for each other. We're working toward. Does that mean it's perfect? No. And that's part of, I think, where people struggle is they're looking for perfection. There is not perfection. Everyone has flaws. People mess up. That's part of what it is. But are you
dedicated?
Yes. Are committed? You willing to work through and mm-hmm. all the things that it's going to take? Listen, marriage and relationship is work, you know, but it's worth having. So if it's worth having, then, you know.
And everything that's worth having does take hard work.
Absolutely. So are you willing to go through what it's going to take to be successful in love, in romance, in relationships? There's trust in romance and different things. You're opening your code up and exposing yourself in a lot of different things that you trust in somebody with your deepest thoughts and emotions and different things like that. And that can be scary for some people. So some people hold back. But ultimately, holding back yourself is holding back the relationship. So it's a beautiful thing. It can be. Let me say that. It can be a beautiful thing. But there's a lot to unpack with two people. You know, you're coming in with experiences and a lot of different things, and as you go through that, do you have the ability to trust one another enough, to love one another enough, to try to work through whatever it's going to take to be successful in a relationship?
Well, I was going to ask you, one time you said before that you know, giving yourself to someone else, you become vulnerable. And you can't hide. You have to let that person love you. And with love, it's the risk of being hurt. What did you mean by that?
You know, if you, for instance, tell somebody something, mm-hmm. you're trusting that they aren't going to take that and hurt you with it. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately when you are in a relationship like that, it's like, this is a part of me that isn't maybe whole. It's some maybe that I'm not proud of. It's something that I'm insecure about, mm-hmm. whatever that is.
Yeah.
And if I trust you with that information, and then we get into an emotional part, do you mm-hmm. take that and hurt me with it? Because now I'm opening myself up to you in a way that you can exploit me.
Right.
Because that's a tender spot. And that can be scary, you know, and, you know, because that's what we have as human beings, you know, it's us, it's our shell, it's our protection, it's what mm-hmm. we put up, it's the facade, it's we get dressed, women mm-hmm. put on makeup, they go out, but that ain't really who you are. Underneath all that is who you are. And when you get to that base level, do you allow somebody in a way that they can hurt you, and you trust in somebody? That's why relationships are really, really tricky.
Well, I have a question for you. What do you think it takes for an athlete, a professional athlete, I'll just say in particular basketball, because that's your sport, to commit to that special woman that's in their life? Do you think it's harder being a professional athlete to commit to the person that you fall in love with than if you wasn't?
No, I don't look at a professional athlete different as anybody else. You're just a human being. The fact that you do that p- particular thing is something different. It doesn't really matter. It's just that's your profession. That's your job. That's the thing that you do.
I think a lot of people would say the climate of sports. Do you think it's harder for an athlete to commit?
You know, that used to maybe be the case. Listen, what being popular or successful, what it does is it just gives you more options. But where are you at with yourself? Where are you at with your journey? Because when someone comes in, they get on your learning curve. Are they willing to go through the ups and downs with you?
Damn, I couldn't agree with you more, baby.
What? Four up. Why are you looking at me like that? What you thinking about?
Oh my God. Hilarious.
Baby, so you're on the fly with Jackie Christie. What's three of the things that you love most about me?
I mean, I love your bronze skin.
That's nice.
Hourglass shape.
That's nice.
You big fat ass. No.
You got one more to go. The third. I know it's cold in my world. Babe, so why is Seattle so amazing?
Well, first of all, it's an incredible place to go to, but growing up in Seattle, just being able to go outside, live outside, have so much fun. The water, if you love outdoors, you know, from fishing to the mountains to playing basketball outside, learning how to play in the rain, riding your bike. And then nowadays, just incredible city, metropolitan, food, fashion, so much different stuff. Seattle.
Amazon, all the
favorite.
Big companies.
Yeah, Boeing, you can go on and on.
Well, last question. Everybody says, well, how'd you guys grow up in Seattle and it rains so much? Tell them what it's like growing up in Seattle, even with the rain.
Well, you'd learn how to adapt and you learn how to play in the rain. I played basketball in the rain, rode my bike in the rain. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like anywhere. If you live someplace and it's really hot, you learn how to deal with the heat. If it snows, you learn, you know. And for me, I don't mind the rain. Like a lot of times people would be like, it's raining. I'm like, that ain't rain. I'll show you some rain.
Talk about the professional athletes that come out of Seattle that, you know, they always say is something in the water. Why do you think we breed so many and yourself being the first one?
Well, but even before me, there was James Edwards who came and went to the University
That's
of Washington.
Right.
And, you know, then for myself, it was just like a windfall, obviously, at Rainier Beach with Nate Robinson and Jamal Crawford and most recently Kevin Porter Jr., who's now with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't, you know, it's weird. There's a heart and a desire in the players that come from our city that you know them when you see them. You know, they got scrap. They got their willingness to compete at a high level and then incredible skill sets. I think part of that is probably because it does rain. So you find yourself in the gym a lot of the times just grinding. But we have a plethora and they're continuing to come. Marvin Williams. I mean, you can go on.
Deadlift Trump from there?
No, Deadlift's actually from Germany. He's from Germany.
Okay. He just made Seattle his home.
Yeah, he went to University of Washington, but he was a transfer student from Germany who went to Centralia High School, which is about an hour away from Seattle going south towards Portland.
That's right. Okay. Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. It's amazing to see all the different people. Ain't there's a day that they name the city name for you?
Yeah, I got a certificate someplace around here that honorary Doug Christie Day.
Yeah. Well, that's a trip. Okay. So what's your three top favorite things to do, period? They could be hobbies or they could just be fun things that you like, babe.
Well,
golf.
Yeah, I love, it's hard to say three, but I love golfing. I love fishing. Basketball is probably my favorite thing of all time to do.
I like reading.
I like listening to music. Those are three things. And then, you know, I watch television. So I enjoy good shows and stories and things like that, movies.
But you left the one most important thing out, babe, and that's fashion. You love fashion. It breeds you. You remember your mom bought you that jacket? Will you tell the people, because I tried to explain the story about the jacket.
Which one?
The Michael Jackson one.
Oh, I had to have it. You're talking about the beaded jacket. I didn't go with the red, though. I went with the black. I got it at iMagnum downtown Seattle by Pike Place Market. And I begged her and begged her, and she scraped that money up, and she got that sucker. If I had it, it'd probably be worth a lot of money now, because it was real leather. I mean, it was with all the zippers and stuff. Yeah, that was crazy.
And you wore it to school? What was people saying?
Yeah, you had to be careful with that, because you get your head peeled back about some nice clothes and stuff. But yeah, I did. It was fun.
But babe, even your high school pictures and all that, you always had the shirt and pulled up a certain way, or the collar popped, or a vest over your shirt. You even was wearing fashion back then. So it just lives and breathes in you, I think.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I always have. I love all types of different magazines, from GQ to Mirabella to just reading and Vogue and fashion, because fashion is, it's not like male, it's not female, it's, you can see it when you see it, you know, it's how a person dress, how they own their clothes, how are they comfortable, do they, you know, so I like that. I think it's fun.
And you know what I love about it, too, and about how you do it, is you don't go in seasons. Your stuff is pretty much seasonless. You can just wear it. And that's where I'm trying to aspire to get to with mine, you know?
Well, you know, oddly enough, being from Seattle, layer dressing kind of started there. And I think, you know, with the grunge and all the different stuff that came. So, you know, many times it'd be in the wintertime and it'd be cold, but I'd be wearing shorts. But then I'd have like a shirt with a long sleeve and, you know, different things. So, yeah, fashion is fun.
I agree, 100%. I also, what's your favorite three countries, like on your bucket list, that you have to visit, that we have to visit?
Obviously, I want to go to Africa. I think that is just going to be incredible. I also want to go to Australia. I think Australia, the land down under, would be really cool to see.
You've always talked
Ireland,
about
Ireland. I think you know, would be one. Us being from Seattle, whenever I see Ireland, it's always green and plush and all that. I haven't been to the UK yet, so I got to go over there. But Japan is a big one for me. I love the culture.
To see Japan.
And yeah, I like Japan because, you know, well, Bruce Lee's from, he's Chinese, but we've been to China. I love that culture, and Japanese with the samurai and all the different things that go along with that, I think would be cool as well.
What about Egypt? You've always said you want to see the pyramids.
Yeah, that's, I got to get there. That's like super high on the list. I mean, this world is so incredible and that's so right. diverse. You know, I you name it, I would love to go and see so many different places. And I've been blessed enough to see quite a few, actually. But
yeah, in the last year, we've seen Mexico, or the last 2 years, Mexico, Thailand, and China, babe.
Yeah,
that's big. And now we're about
India.
To see Africa. Yeah, and you, oh, India.
Yeah,
I didn't get to go to that, but you did.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was
different?
Breathtaking. It was eye-opening to see opulence and poverty so close together. Incredible people, beautiful people, very nice. But yeah, it's incredible that you get so far away from America and its people, and they living and they doing their thing. it was fun.
What do you think Vivek's message was in taking you guys to India?
Well, I think for him, what, you know, what I was obviously speaking for Vivek, it had to be about as emotional experience as you can get for a kid coming from there to come to America with, I think it was like $100 in his pocket, to be educated and then educate himself to a level where he got companies and he sold those companies and, you know, all the different things that he's done to accumulate his wealth and then to buy a team because he loves the game of basketball, and then to be able to take that game, the highest level of that game on the globe, back to his country. Wow. I was just watching him going, man, I know you got to be welling up on the inside because this is big.
That was huge. He's going to forever be an icon in that country now because he was able to do that and bring the whole, you know, bring the NBA pretty much there. And both teams seemed happy and excited. The players, you guys getting to experience that. That was amazing. Okay, so you got to share what your top three foods of all time are.
Top three foods? Mm-hmm. Greens.
Of course.
Pizza.
Come on, you gotta say this last one. We from Seattle. You gotta say this last one.
I mean,
if you don't say this last one, babe.
Seafood, I don't.
Oh, that's what it was. See, no, you knew.
Yeah, that one's like too easy. But seafood.
Yes. Lobster.
That goes without saying. I mean, seafood, I love it, but.
Well,
some pizza too.
Yeah, I didn't know you love pizza. See, I learned something new about you every day, and we've been together this long, and I didn't even know you love pizza.
I mean, pizza,
but your
ain't
pizza,
nothing,
huh? Pizza, the kind you make.
Pizza ain't nothing but bread and cheese, and you know, so it's kind of a sandwich. That's a big debate, I'm sure. Is a hot dog a sandwich? Is a hamburger? Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so listen to this. You love to read, babe, and so do I, and we're both authors. What is your top? And I have to say top three again, top three books of all time.
You know, that's a tough one because there's so many different books. So,
Way of the Wizard?
Yeah, The Way of the Wizard is probably one of my all-time favorites.
Yes. Deepak Chopra, Way of the Wizard.
Yeah, Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth was a good one. You know, oddly enough, a one that I just couldn't put it down once I started reading was because I like to read autobiographies and Open by Andre Agassi. And it was a really, really good book to, you know, when you learn about someone's life and you see how they went about their thing and you have a perception about a person because you watch them from afar, but then to hear their intimate thoughts about their dad and what they felt about their sport and all those, it was really good. It was.
That's I got to get it. I didn't even, do we still have it? Because I want to read it.
You know what? I don't know what I did. I mean, we have so many books, but I don't know. But it's a thick one. It's like 3 inches thick. But once I started reading, I couldn't stop till I was done.
I can't even. And you know what? Remember, I got you Michelle Obama's. I can't wait for you to bust that one open.
Yeah, I got it. That's on my list to take on one of these road trips and go ahead and knock it out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hers is pretty big, too. So it's going to take a minute. Let me ask you, what makes a good basketball player to you, Paige?
You know, drive and desire first and foremost, but at the same time, as I've continued to study basketball, to be honest with you, it's just a fundamental good player. Have you mastered the fundamentals? And do you have a basketball IQ? And if you got that,
what's a basketball IQ for the people that don't?
That means the ability to think the game and not use athleticism to dominate the game.
Okay.
Because, for instance, a guy like Larry Bird, who wasn't super athletic, but he was so incredible because he outthought his opponent. And that is next level. Then you got a guy like Michael Jordan, who, when I talk about mind, body, sport, the mind part is what we're talking about, IQ, and the body and the sport part, is he was able to put the mind and all that together. Plus he had the extra big weapon of supreme athleticism. That's just out of this world. So I would say just someone who masters and works on the fundamentals and then has the willingness and ability to think the game of basketball. And if you do that,
because you feel like that thinking part is a very, very important ingredient on being an all-around great basketball player.
Oddly enough, it's the most overlooked aspect. I mean, our brain and our mind run our body, but we don't really focus on it. I've been talking about this for a lot of years when I talk about mind, body, and sport. And oddly enough, I just seen a commercial with LeBron James, and he's talking about the mind and meditation and all that type of stuff. He created a new app, and he's spot on. When I got to that point, I was like, wow, you know, this is big. If your mind runs the body and dictates everything, why would we not focus more on making sure that it's healthy and strong and it has the ability to be flexible and not dogmatic, and you know, all the different things that we say, why can't a person do this, or man, that was stupid. But they you got to think, and you got to be under pressure and be able to think, and all the things that go with the mind. And that comes from a calmness and a stillness, which is the opposite, because you get in a high high pressure situation, you think your mind's racing. Actually, you need to breathe and relax and trust your fundamentals if you've mastered them.
And that's what you said one time when you was playing in the finals. You said, when you're out there on the floor and there's so much going on around you, it's the most incredible thing. You explained to me, you said everything just slowed down. You said the game itself, everything just kind of slowed all the way down.
Yeah, you know, it's different in that way, because many times the ability for a game to slow down, for things to not go so fast for a player, it takes time a lot of times, meaning that when they're a young player, things are moving so fast, it's fast, fast, fast. And then all of a sudden you'll see, as a player starts to develop, it's like, oh, the game has slowed down for them. You could kind of see it, you know, you can actually visibly see that now they've mastered that part of it. And as a defender or a defensive player, what you're trying to do is you're trying to get them to speed up. You're trying to get them to go faster, because that's usually when mistakes happen.
Wow. And the last thing about athleticism and the whole thing of mind, body, sport, tourney-on. Tell us what the actual R3 bar rebar does for a person, because I love mine. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, rebar was created by one of my trainers, Tim Manson, and myself, and our other partner, Sylvester Walters, and Michael Knight. And now we are in production and moving to this incredible piece of equipment. It trains the body in a way that we don't necessarily focus on. You know, most people train big muscles, and that those are the prime movers, the ones that you see in the mirror when you look in the mirror, but they don't focus on all the little intrinsic muscles. And that's part of what rebar does. It's going to build tremendous strength, tremendous endurance, and then also erase movement dysfunctions and things like that. I could talk about it for a long time. So to wrap it up real quick, but that's kind of what it does, and how it's an incredible piece of equipment. You can go for 15 minutes or you can go for 2 hours, and you
feel the workout. Your body actually feels it, babe, but it's not painful to do. It's actually exciting. You get a adrenaline rush using the rebar. And even for me, like, I like how you guys have the beginner bands, intermediate, advanced bands. You can see the results, like in your butt, everywhere you want. And I like that you take it with you on the road when you guys travel. When you go with the team, it's with you underneath the plane, and you pop it out in your room, and I might call you and you say, oh, I'm doing some rebar. Yeah. It can go anywhere with people, so they can travel with it, everything. It's an amazing piece of equipment. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you real quick, who you got in this year's finals for 2019, right now at this point? And we know the Sacramento Kings can't be included because we're rebuilding.
At this point, you know, it looks like maybe the Clippers and the Milwaukee Bucks.
Not the Lakers?
Nah, the Lakers are there, but the Clippers have beat them twice. So, I mean, for
but what's the Clippers' record at this point?
They're a game or two behind the Lakers. Oh, okay. So, I mean, I could see either one of those guys representing the Western Conference, and I could see Milwaukee or Philadelphia representing the Eastern Conference. Easy enough, yeah. You know, so out of those four teams, I think that you're going to end up with your 2019-2020 NBA champion.
Oh, my God, babe. We're going to have to look back and see at the end of the season. But what's the trip is them is two sneak-up teams, Milwaukee and Philadelphia, not to take anything away from them. But
they've been ties have changed in times of, you know.
Why do you think that is?
Well, Giannis Antetokounmpo is the reigning MVP. Looks like he's probably going to be MVP again. Joel Embiid for Philly is really, you know, starting to take his game to another level. So, that, you know, they've they've established themselves with some really, really quality talent. And when you do that in this league, talent runs things, and they have the talent.
Well, we got some talent on Sacramento as well. Now we just got to make the pieces fit together. Like you said, they're a young team. They're coming up. They, you know, are gelling together slowly but surely. And if we keep the injuries down, shoot, we'll be right up there with the rest of them in the next few years. What you think?
It's going to, I mean, with De'Aaron and Marvin, I mean, Buddy and Bogey and Rashawn Holmes, I mean, they have a nice core group of talent, but what they right now with Coach Luke Walton, they're trying to learn how to play basketball. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, you hoop, you got skills, but to play as a unit and play together and play for each other, that takes time. And it's a lot of times it's painful. So you got to go through the pain of losing and not doing it and all those different things. And that's kind of where they're at right now. So they'll be all right, though.
I feel like you, when you said recently that when you guys played, it was a different heart involved. What do you think that was? I know it was veterans on the team back then and all of that. Was basketball different when you guys was playing than it is now?
No, I don't think so. I'm not the guy who harps on this age. And I think that the skill level of these guys that are playing today is fantastic. The game is in good hands. There's parts of it that I don't like, and I think that is playing the right way and learning how to play the game. But you have teams like Golden State who plays an incredible style of basketball. The Kings are trying to play the way that we used to play, and you can go on and on with even Milwaukee plays a good style like Indiana. There's some teams that do it the right way. I just think, you know, it's different. Now there's more focus on guard play and the shooting the three ball. So it's a different style of basketball, but it's just basketball. You're not recreating anything. You just got to continue on mastering them fundamentals.
And don't overthink it. That's one thing you've always said, is just do what you have trained your body over the years to do. The wrap up this interview, and I think it's been fantastic, honey, is I'm going to shoot rapid fire. Now, this is something that Jamil actually did to me. So I'm going to pay it back, Jamil, and do it with my husband. Okay, baby, you ready? Vanilla or spice? You can pick one or the other.
Vanilla.
Candy or popcorn?
Popcorn.
Wine or iced tea?
Wine.
Date night or car quickie?
That's a good one.
Date night or car quickie? Okay, date night. Okay. Me or bag of money?
Who?
You? Me, your wife, or a bag of money?
How much money is that?
See, I love that shit. You gonna get nothing but realness with you. You said, how much money is it? 20 million or me?
I love you to death.
Oh, babe.
I got you on the back end, though. I get the money, and then I'll swing around and pick you up.
I love that. Okay, Seattle or Egypt?
Seattle.
Lion or bull?
Bull.
I knew. How come? Why the bull?
Because that's me.
That's you, a Taurus. Thank you, baby. Love you.
You're welcome, love you.